So we're going to go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, do not be deceived. Why would Paul say that to the church? Because that means the obvious, that it's possible if you're not paying attention and you don't stay focused, you can be what? Deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You don't play games with him and win. It doesn't work. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever it is you plant, that's what's going to come back. So plant good seed in good soil. If you want some love in your life, plant love in the lives of others. Amen? If you want some joy in your life, plant some joy in the life of others. It comes back to you. Whatever you put in comes back. So, Father, we thank you for this truth. How long does it take? We've asked this question, all of us, I'm sure, in the room. And I'm sure all over the world, people who know you have asked you this question. How long does it take? Father, we know when we put seed in the ground, eventually there will come that growth and that development, that maturation and that fruit. We pray tonight in Jesus' name that the seed that goes into good soil in this good place will bear much fruit in our lives and hearts so that others who see it and taste it will know who you are because of what you're doing in us. We thank you for transformational word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Everywhere I look, everybody I hear from, and I hear from people all over the world almost every week, challenges. That's what they tell us. And with great renewal and phenomenal moving of the Holy Spirit in places all over the planet, where in the Muslim world, people are having dreams and visions, and Jesus is revealing himself to multiple Muslim people who have been in darkness, some of which have been terrorists of the worst kind, coming to know that Jesus is for real and giving their hearts to him. Yet challenges everywhere we look. And in life there is a heaviness, but at the same time, joy. There is a struggle, but at the same time, a hope. There is a frustration, but at the same time, strength. I know where I'm going. There is a clarity, at the same time, there's a confusion. At the same time, people invigorated and strengthened, and at the same time, the feeling, I can't go on any further. Does anybody relate to that kind of a strange season? At the same time, it's a new season, and at the same time, how do I get out of the old season? Moving forward, but periodically taking a step backward. At the same time, a sense of freedom, at the same time, a sense of binding. Delivered from something, yet a struggle as the enemy seeks to pull you back into bondage. At the same time, I feel I'm so close. And at the same time, so far away. And with all of this, a human desire to quit. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit says, go on forward. I'm talking to somebody in here tonight. Amen? You wanted to stay home. You lost an hour. You were tired. Then something got restless in your spirit. And it said, I can't stay here. I can't do this. Because every time you want to quit, you think it's just not working. Something flips inside of your heart and tells you, go on anyhow. And I sense I'm about to win. And at the same time, there are moments when it seems like little traction. At the same time, I'm looking up. But then occasionally there's this sinking feeling. You can't quite get comfortable, but you know you can't go back where you once were. So you're trying to grab some bearing on where you are. And that's how the journey is in seasons at times, serving the Lord. Somewhere in the midst of the challenges, Jesus is present. Always present. Amen? Always. Some days you awaken like a conqueror, fearless. Other days you just awaken. So I ask the question, how long? How long? I've been waiting and waiting for so long. And I keep asking the question, how long? Looking for that moment where there is this breakthrough and breakout. Is anybody sick and tired? Anybody? Is anybody a bit restless? Are you tired of being where you are, yet you can't go back where you came from? You're trying to get your bearings to where it is you need to go. It's time for whatever it is to happen right now. And stuff is happening, thank God, all over the world. And your life at times can feel like a roller coaster. And those are fun. Especially when you get up to one of these really high roller coasters and they just hang you there for a couple of seconds before you go over the edge. And you look around and you ask yourself, what am I doing up here? And then all of a sudden it drops and you feel like you're out of control. Life sometimes feels like that, huh? You feel like you're not in control of anything and you can't even keep your bottom in the seat. But you get up and you say, Lord, direct me, help me, Lord, deliver me, Lord, have mercy, Lord, take over, because I'm in a place I cannot control. Like a roller coaster, up and down, and then just about the time you feel like you're slowing down, then it speeds up. And there's no control that you have. You wonder, why is that, Lord? Because that's where I want you. So I'm here to say something. You are closer. I said you are closer. Are you hearing this? And we play a game. We played this for years with our family. And we're watching it happen now with our grandkids. It's kind of fun. Play a little game, looking for someone who's hidden. Or something that's hidden. You're cold. It's getting colder. Colder. No, now it's getting warmer. You're warmer. It's hotter. And then you get a little bit closer, and even in confusion, and you're still looking around to say, where is this? Where is this? You're hot. I mean, you're right on that thing. You are so close, even though you don't see it, you are so close. In the dilemma, you are there. You're that close. You've been trying to do the right thing, and you feel like everyone else is being blessed. And for you, it seems like our perceptions are nothing is happening. And for many people, perception becomes their reality, when in fact it's not reality. And God says, do not be deceived. I am not mocked. And he spoke in the prior verse about the truths that you've been taught from his word. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So you are taught the truth. You are given the truth. And the challenge, you've been taught, you have heard, but the alignment in your perception is still not quite right. And God's saying, don't think what you've been hearing is wrong, because it's not wrong. And you miss that. Come on, folks. Don't think what you've been hearing is wrong. Text message. What you've been hearing is not wrong. God's truth is never wrong. What God's been whispering into your spirit, what causes this spiritual discontent, remember, God is not a liar. So what does he say? We've been given the truth. He is not mocked. Whatever's been sown is going to be reaped. And then he goes on to say, and let us not grow weary while doing good. So I walked up to someone coming to church last week. And I said, how are you? Well, Pastor, I'm tired. And I said, me too. I hate that spring forward stuff. It messes up my body clock. And he said, no, I'm tired. And I'm here tonight to preach to some people who are sick and tired folk tonight. So I asked him, I said, so what do you mean? And tears started welling up a little bit in his eyes, and he said, I'm tired spiritually. I'm tired physically. I'm tired emotionally. And he said, I'm tired. God sent me here tonight with a word. He says, you're too close. You're not hearing what I'm saying, church. He said, you are too close. You are too close. Don't grow weary while you're doing good, because it is your season. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Are you listening? There are some companies that would go bankrupt if they had to manage on what they had in liquid assets. If the company tried to survive on its liquid assets in the now, they'd have to file bankruptcy. The only reason they're still in business is they have accounts payable. I'm not saying they have potential sales. I'm saying they have already performed what they were to perform, and they are owed something. My dad had relationship accounts with different businesses and chefs and restaurants, and some of them had accounts payable. And that was enabling us to continue to build business on that. They owed so much. Companies that are owed a significant amount of money in accounts payable, they can stand because they have more than enough that's flowing in their direction. It's not already in their hands, but it will come in when it's due. And when some were paid this past Friday, and then you started to look at your bills, and PG&E probably was either at the top or the bottom, because either way, they got you coming and going. And all of their rate adjustments, not sure why, but nonetheless. And it's always fun to watch how they jack prices up at seasons of the year when you're using more of a specific utility than the other. Car payment is due. And companies make decisions about their future on what is due them. They project on what accounts payable, what those things are that are due them. The good thing about your due season versus the secular due season, sometimes people don't pay when it's due. There were some accounts that we did business with that did not pay when their accounts were due. That's in the secular world. But God says, I always pay on time. I owe you. He did not say, don't grow weary because you have a season. He said, in due season, which means I owe you at a specific time, because in a season, because of well-doing, don't go off of what you have now, because I'm making a deposit in your life. At the very moment you think you're going under, don't faint in the middle of this. God is not one who lies, nor the son of a man that has to repent. Tell your neighbor, he's about to repay you. God's been using you in this battle of ups and downs and roller coasters. He allowed people to see you in the struggle, and he allowed people to observe you in the weariness and in the fatigue, because he wants to show them what he looks like when he pulls you up out of the muck and out of the mire and says, see, when they hold on to me, what I do. He's been using you. There are people who can't believe you still pray. There are people who can't believe you're still standing after what you've been through. Family even laughing at you because you got up after you got knocked down. But God is using you. God's going to go after your family members. And he has to allow them to see you in a bind up against a wall, but still praising him, still honoring him, still faithful to him, still always, always ready to give an account for your relationship with him, because he's about to pay you off. Tell your neighbor, payday is coming. And you can't check out until you've been paid. You know what gets some people to get up and go to work tomorrow morning? They're going to think about Friday. What keeps some people working in the middle of the week on Wednesday? They're thinking about payday on Friday. Many people are at work only because they're going to be paid. I've come to announce that your spiritual payday is right around the corner. So don't die now. Not now. God doesn't want you going out without your payday. He will pay you, and then he's going to give you some time to enjoy it. Amen? To enjoy it. Say with me, you can't die. You shall live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. So don't even think about suicide. Rebuke the spirit of death. Rebuke the spirit of discouragement. Amen? Biblical examples of discouragement: when the 12 spies returned after scoping out the promised land, they reported the land flowed with milk and honey. And they said there are huge cities there and big armies, and there are some giants among those armies. And we can't deal with what we're, 10 of them said, we can't deal with what we're looking at over there. This so discouraged the people. They refused to trust in God's promises. They refused to believe that what God promised them would come to pass. Because of that, they wandered in the wilderness for 4 decades till they died off. Another great example of discouragement, Saul, King Saul and his army, and they're backing up from Goliath, the giant, and the armies of the Philistines, and the taunts, and the fears that they have inside. And fear immobilized all these warriors until a teenage shepherd boy named David steps up with faith in a huge God that's bigger than the giant called Goliath. New Testament example of that discouragement that happens in the lives of people is found in Acts 4, where the same council that facilitated the death of Jesus now has dragged Peter and John before them for a hearing and put fear into the rest of the Christian band. And when the apostles reported that they were being threatened, everyone felt the seriousness of that moment. But the church responded very differently than the Israelite army under King Saul in their discouragement. The people of the Lord responded in a way of faith. Instead of being immobilized by fear, they responded by believing in God and asking him for help. As a result, we're all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak God's word with boldness. And so in Hebrews, he gives you the encouraging word, therefore lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everybody and for holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Can you rejoice over that promise? Come on, saints. So when you get in that moment when you think, I can't go any further, you remember the Canaanites, and you remember Goliath, and you remember the council and their threats against the church. And then remember your own stories, how God showed up to deliver you out of your discouragement. And what discourages us is not as powerful as he is in the moment when he's there with you. We overcome our fear and our discouragement by standing on the promises of God and saying, this is what you promised me. I'm not letting go until I get it. Amen. Payday is right around the corner. And you're not going out without that payday. And you're going to get some time to enjoy it. Face someone and say, you shall reap. Tell somebody, you shall reap. In the Greek, shall means shall. You shall reap. So get ready. You may be tired, but don't faint. You are weary, but don't faint. Your deliverance is here, present in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, your breakthrough is now. Your peace is now. Your healing is now. Don't you faint. Don't you give up. You shall reap if you faint not. Now, let me help that kind of make some sense. Get this in your spirit. Where you're going is so big in the reward God has for the faithful. That's the reason you had to pay so much. That's the reason you had to wait so long, because where you're going is so big, eye has not seen. And someone needs to holler because it's so big. It's so awesome. It's so amazing. But the first obstacle, you've been sitting in this miserable state of discouragement, and you keep going back and forth in your spirit. And then it looks like the wicked are being blessed. And they're seeming to prosper. And then half-hearted Christians who cuss and drink, are immoral, and don't tithe, seems like they're getting ahead. And you're sitting here not understanding, how does this work? You're walking right with the Lord, and it looks like everybody else is getting the blessing. So you ask, what about me? And God says, listen to this. Habakkuk had the same problem that you have. He said, God, my enemies are prospering. Why? Why are the wicked prospering? And God answered him, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I'll work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. Jeremiah asked the same question. He said, yet let me talk with you about your judgments, he said to God. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why is that happening? And God is saying to us at Calvary Christian Center, what I have lined up for you, I couldn't tell you until now, because you would not have believed it. You would not have been able to wrap your brain around it. You wouldn't have been able to understand or comprehend it. Watch this. God says, so I wanted to parade in front of you how the world blesses folk, so when you see me bless you, everyone you thought was bypassing you, running past you, they're going to have to stand up and look at you and say, that has to be God. Nobody else could have done that. And somewhere in your life, you've got to get all of the cobwebs out and all of the stuff that blocks the flow of your absolute focus on trusting God. Get all the disappointment out. Get all the hurt out before the Lord. God has to get us somewhere. And just like Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, God showed you a vision and a plan for your life. It might have been when you were back in high school. It might have been when you were in college. God showed you something and it got you so excited. The problem, what you saw and where you are don't match. And where you've been where you are for so long, you're getting to the point where you don't believe what you once saw. Tell your neighbor, believe it again. Believe it again. Let me read this to you, this passage in a second here. I want you to understand why you are where you are. Paul said this. He lived it, and then he passes it along for us to comprehend. Because where you're going, you need to be strong. You need to be equipped. You need to be a warrior who does not faint. Say, I need my strength. Can you remember a revelation God gave you about your life and about your future? For some, God spoke so mightily, you were afraid to tell anybody. They wouldn't have believed it. They would think, well, you don't deserve that. But anything God told us wasn't based on whether we deserved it. It was based on what he purposed for us. That's what it was based on. So you don't have to justify that you worked hard for it and God's giving that to you because you earned it. God in his good pleasure and sovereignty chose to bless you, chose to bestow that upon you. You think, well, Pastor, I need strength. I'm so weak. Don't faint. Don't quit now. And here's what Paul writes. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. God was giving him insights that were beyond human comprehension. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. God gave Paul such an abundance of revelation that he allowed the devil to pressure him to keep him balanced. You missed that. God gave Paul such an abundance of revelation that he allowed the devil to pressure him to keep him balanced. God gave you such a vision that he's had to allow some trouble to keep you anchored. And I submit nearly everybody in this room has said, if I could just get over this one thing, I could achieve this dream. If I could just get past this one thing, I'd get to my destination. You have fasted. You have prayed, and you're still battling. And for some, if the dream came to pass too soon, you'd be an arrogant little something. And if you didn't have to fight off a little trouble, because then you'll start thinking you're all of that in a bag of chips, right? So God had to allow something with the vision, listen, to break us, to melt us, to mold us and to fill us, keeping us fully dependent. Because if I didn't allow that, you would not have prayed like you've prayed. And you would not have read my word like you've had to read my word. And you would not have searched for me like you've had to search for me. And Paul said, listen, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, God said to me, the Lord said to me, and God says to you, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Because where you're going, you can't go in your strength. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when I'm fighting, eventually I'll get tired. Ever watch tag team wrestling? Ever watch some of those? Right? When one grows weary and tired, he scrambles or crawls or inches his way toward the corner and tags his partner because physically he can't go one more step. But the one we have in the corner is stronger than we are. And he can't come in until we're thoroughly convinced that we can't go on. And God says, the problem with us, most are still fighting in our strength. The struggle is, he's waiting for us to tag out. And God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I got to sit on that a minute. What's the devil been whispering to you? The devil says, you can't keep going like this. You can't make it. Go ahead and give up. And what he's doing is, he's trying to torment you. He's the father of lies. He wants you so confused because if you ever figure out you are stronger when you are weaker. And I got a big brother that I can tag out to who's a whole lot stronger than I. And if you can figure out on the day you feel the weakest, that's the day you are the strongest. when I feel strong and I have a sense that I'm strong, I can pray like a house on fire. When I feel strong, I start praying in the Spirit. And if you'll test yourself in honesty, that's not the time you see the greatest results. But when I'm weak, I can get more done in 3 minutes than when I'm feeling strong in my ability, talking to God like I'm some bold soldier. Look at me, God, I'm one of your best. When you're weak, you tell God, it's all you. it's all you. I've got nothing in the tank. You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. In you I live, I move, and have my being. Without you, I am nothing. And if you want me to have this, release it to me. If you don't want me to have it, that's okay. If they don't want to be with me, let them go. If you want them with me, bring them to me. I don't want anything that's not mine. And I'm not going to cry over stuff I don't need to cry about. Unless you're pleased, nothing else matters. Because it's all about you. It's not about what I acquire. It's all about you. It's about your kingdom. Kingdom that will outlast anything I ever achieve. His kingdom. You can always bet on this when everything else has evaporated and disappeared and collapsed and gone belly up. His kingdom will still be standing. Stronger than all the kingdoms of the world. They will have all come down. And the stone that the builder rejected has now become a mountain. Your career, not going to last. His kingdom is eternal. Seek first his kingdom. Amen? It's his kingdom. And when you get to that point where you open your mouth and you say to God, I just love you. I just want to walk with you. I realize you have a time and a season for me to step into a new dimension. And when you're ready, take me there. But whatever you want, however you want, I yield myself to you. Paul put it like this. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, by the power of Christ, then I am strong. So what's Pastor saying? Right now, you are at your strongest point. You don't have to come to God in some formal fashion. You don't have to come to him with some elegant approach. Right now, in your weakness is your strength. So in tonight's service, I'm going to ask everybody, all of you, to take 5 minutes with God. I guarantee you, if you come to God with the approach Paul took in the passages I've read to you, they will be the most powerful 5 minutes you've had in your life. If you understand, you're the strongest ever. When you've tagged him in your utter and complete weakness to come in and fight this for you. And while you're in this 5 minutes of tagging your partner, you pray for your family, you pray for your business, you pray for our community, you pray for yourself, you pray the Lord God says, I'm ready to see you reap what you have sown. Tag out. And show me your dependence on my strength. tag out and say, Lord, I'm going to keep trusting you. I may have expended all my natural energy, but in here, I have not quit. I'm tagging and trusting you. In your brokenness, with a contrite heart, God counts every tear. He says, what I promised you, I'm going to give you. In due season, you're owed. It's a payable, and I'm going to pay you what I promised you when I pulled you to myself. You will reap in due season. So God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap.